You'll find our opening hymn in your bulletin, "He Hideth My Soul." Please stand as we sing together.
Seated, please. Good morning, my wonderful friends. And family, I have rarely get up here, usually only as Judas Iscariot, the most misunderstood of ours. Judas Iscariot, you know, our bad guy. The one that's most misunderstood. Had he not done what he did, we would not be here doing what we are right now. So I think of that every time I get an opportunity to play him, and I'm thankful to come up here and speak this morning. Please do the call to worship. I'll read the light print, and you'll do the bold, please. We come to hear the story of God's faithfulness to past generations.
But we also look to the future as well as the past.
The God who is with our ancestors is with us as well.
Then we can go forward in hope. Whatever else fails, God remains faithful. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Praise be to God.
For affirmation of faith, in your hymnals, if you'll turn to page number 881 to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your faith in your silver praise books to page 200. We're going to use this this book today for our second hymn, As the Deer.
As the deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth
seated.
Please open your hearts and mind for your prayer of confession. Dear God, how easy it is for me to distinguish myself from them. For the times I believe I am better than others, forgive me. For the times I put my ways on a pedestal to the neglect of others, forgive me. for the times I avert my gaze so I won't have to look at their condition. Forgive me. For the times I wished they would all go away and live somewhere else, forgive me. For the times I feel no discomfort in judging others before I even know them, forgive me. For the ease with which I label people them and other, forgive me. Amen.
Declaration of Forgiveness. The Lord welcomes all who return from the exile of greed and self-interest. Be at peace, for in Christ we find our way home again, where all are forgiven, loved, and restored.
It's that time that give back to the Lord a portion of what he's given us. We pray with me. As we lay before you our offering, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. Come bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and glory. Amen. Thank you.
mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
Moment. Okay. Okay. Yeah, come on up.
Just sit right here. Well, I wanted to introduce, is this on? Yeah? No? What?
Is this on?
I can hear me now. I want to introduce my classroom to you all. This is Phoebe's awesome Sunday school class.
Yay.
And believe me, they are awesome. But I think right now we need to make one little prayer. All of y'all bow your heads. Dear God, send boys. Amen. We're very thankful for all our many blessings, but we could use more of another kind. We've been studying about Noah's Ark, and I know that you all know about Noah's Ark, and now we do too. We spent quite a few weeks studying, building the ark, which is right behind you, and putting the animals in the ark. And so, but while we were doing this, we started thinking, well, what happened? Why are we doing this?
Because the people were bad.
Okay, good.
When you say that.
Oh, yeah. Stand up.
Because the people were being bad.
Right.
You could all stand up.
All the people were being bad. And so God came to Noah. Oh, okay.
We haven't got our cue yet.
Yeah. But some of us are anxious to do this, as you can see. So God asked Noah to build this ark. Well, we got to thinking about that. How did Noah even know what an ark was? Well, God had the plans, and he gave them to Noah. Now, this was a tremendous job. And we wanted to think about maybe how hard it was to do all this, that he had to cut down a bunch of trees. And did he go to Walmart or Home Depot?
No,
he did not, because there weren't any stores around, so he had to figure out how to have a saw, how to cut down things, and everything.
And measure.
Now, how big was the ark?
As big as a football field and a half of another.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
And six times this church.
Six times this church. Yes. That's very long. And how tall was it?
Seven stories tall.
Yes, 7 stories tall.
250 railroad cars.
This is 2 stories tall. So that is really, really, really big. Now, he needed it this big because little ones. Where are the little ones?
Because he needed to get
animals. And there.
I did crocodile.
Yeah. And he needed 2 of each kind. So he needed a very, very large ark. Now he built this. He went out. He got the animals, 2 of each kind, and put them on the ark. And then the floods came. And at the end of the floods, God gave us a promise. And to show us the promise, he gave us the
rainbow.
Okay. Here's. Okay. All right.
Hey, thank you all.
Yeah. Right. And then what are we going to say, a prayer?
Okay, we'll take the rainbow down now.
What's our prayer, remember? Let's say our prayer. Come on, our prayer. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you so much. For all the things you've given us. Especially our beautiful rainbow to remind us. And we're little God's helpers with our angel wings, so we're going to pass out, hugs and kisses to share. Right? Here it is.
Okay, and we're just going to start it, and y'all are going to pass it that way and that way. And thank you all. And I just wanted you to see how blessed our church is.
And look inside, because we're going to put it in the back. Inside, they got all their little animals they made. So take a peek. Okay, can y'all hear me? No. Let me make sure I'm on. I'm green. Okay, now you can? Okay. Everybody get your hugs and kisses? I love hugs and kisses. I know that was Jim Moore that said that, wherever he is. Okay, we have one prayer request this morning. It's from Elizabeth Olton. And Beth is in life-threatening circumstances, and so she's asked for prayers. So let's bow our heads and have a time of prayer. Lord, I know that on this mountain and in our community and in our families, there are many who are suffering physically, mentally. Some are just alone. Lord, we lift all of these up to you, and especially Beth. Lord, you're the great healer, the great comforter. You know all that is happening in our lives. And Lord, we just ask that you sit by each one of these that we know and love them and let them feel your presence. And Lord, we do this as a community. We do this as a church, as a congregation, as a family, the family of God. Join with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay. Yes, sir. We do. Thank you.
Prayer of illumination you'll find in your bulletin. We'll recite this together in unison. Loving Lord, how we thank you for the scripture, which you caused to be written for our learning. It is food and nourishment for our soul, a light to guide, protect our path, our lives, and health to all who love your name. We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts and our minds to all that is written in your word of grace. Guide us into all truth, and may our ears be ever open to hear your still, small voice. May our eyes be ever watchful for the lessons that you would have us learn. And may our hearts be ever receptive to all that you would teach us. Thank you, Lord, that by your word and spirit, you have given us all we need in order to live a life that is godly and well-pleasing to you. sight. Open our eyes day by day to see wondrous things in your gracious word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Doc. Okay. I'm going to take a deep breath and we're headed on. You ready? Okay. Y'all know me. I've been here, 10 years? So I think y'all know me pretty good. And you know I like children. That's why I'm one of them when they come down here to have the children's moment. That's a very special thing for me. I love to have the children around. I started babysitting when I was 12 for pay. The grand sum of 50 cents an hour. And it didn't matter how many children there were. One night, I kept 10 children from three different families. And at the end of the evening, like quite a while, I gladly received my $3 and went home to rest. So you kind of understand where I'm coming from. For that length of time with 10 kids, I had to know how to entertain them. I had to know how to read stories, how to tell jokes, how to mend bruises, that kind of thing. So now, you know, I work with seniors. And at the senior center, my philosophy, I don't know if anybody else has ever had this philosophy, but I have this one, and I taught school for 31 years. And there's not much difference between a senior citizen and a child. No. You tell them a joke or a story and give them a piece of candy, they're happy all day. Let me tell you, it works every day. Works all the time. Okay. Well, there was this little boy. His name was Tim. And he was filling a hole in his backyard when his neighbor looked over the fence. And the neighbor was kind of wondering what Tim was doing. And so he said, "Tim, what are you up to?" And Tim, with a tear in his eye and a creak in his voice, he says, "My goldfish died, and I'm burying him." Well, the neighbor was kind of concerned because that was really a big hole. And she said, "You know, that's really a big hole for a little tiny goldfish, isn't it?" And Tim patted down the last part of the earth. And he says, "That's because he's inside your kitty cat." Okay. All right. And I knew y'all were expecting a joke, so guess what? I gave you one. Okay. Now, remember, I'm not a preacher. I wasn't really good at preaching at my boys. My mother could make me feel guilty by preaching at me. Okay. I wasn't one to preach at my boys. I have three sons. I'm not a preacher. I'm a talker. Okay? So that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to talk. And when Francis asked me to do the service today, the message for today, I started thinking. And I had mentioned to her about something that I remembered from years ago about faith. And she said, "Why don't you talk about that?" So that's where this comes from, okay? Same experiences that I had before. But the Bible verse that has become very precious to me, that sustains my faith and my hope throughout the day, throughout the month, throughout the year, is "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, so that He," meaning God, "may support those whose heart is completely His." You know what that means? That means that God is looking all over the earth for His children who are having trouble so that He can support them. And I believe that, and that's faith. And you'll notice that it says 2 Chronicles, and then there's three question marks. My dyslexia kicks in every once in a while, and I couldn't remember whether it was 16:9 or 6:91 or 9:16, or so I had to look up all of those to see which one it really occurred, but I knew the verse, and that's what's important, is that you know the verse and you have it in your heart. Doesn't matter its location in the Bible, but it is a Bible verse, and it's very comforting for me. Now, one of the things that I wrote down here, and I don't know why I wrote it, but I did, because I have a tendency to hide. I know none of y'all do that. None of you go in your house and draw your drapes and think nobody can see me, nobody can get to me, but I do. Then I remember, it doesn't matter. I can draw all the drapes I want. It doesn't matter. God's looking for me. And he'll find me wherever I am. Yeah. So let's start talking about faith and how this applies. Is faith really believing? Or is it knowing? Or what's the difference? Well, faith, to me... Now, people, this is very subjective, okay? With my opinion in a dollar, you might get a cup of coffee if you like coffee. Okay, but this is the way God talks to me, okay? To me, faith is stepping out because you know the truth. You know that God has a plan. And so you step out. You may step out into a lake, and you don't know how to swim, so you might drown. You might step on solid ground that you're confident with. You might step out into quicksand. But faith is knowing that God is there to pick you up. And it's knowing. Now, there's a lot of great men of faith in the Bible. One of the first ones that we encounter is Moses. And that's why I chose that song, "He Hideth My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock." Where did God hide Moses when God walked by? Because remember, whoever sees God dies. Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock so that God could pass by. Moses encountered God personally and privately. He saw God. And why he wasn't struck dead, actually, I don't know that he saw God face to face, but he was in the presence of God, and he glowed so brightly that when he came back down from the mountain, he had to wear a cover over his face because people couldn't stand, their eyes couldn't stand the brightness from his face. Now, there had to be something there. There had to be faith there that's founded on that personal, that private relationship with God. Or he couldn't have led those people around for 40 years in that desert. And they were not grateful people, let me tell you. They really weren't. They bellyached and they griped. I mean, he gave them food, and they griped. He gave them water, and they griped. They griped about everything. But Moses did what he was supposed to. He took them where God told him to take them. And then there was Samuel. Samuel was chosen by God as a child. He went to live in the temple with Eli. And when God called Samuel, Samuel replied, "Here I am. What do you want, God? What do you have in store for me, God?" And Samuel lived a whole life serving God, serving the synagogue, serving the kings, anointing kings. He worked for God all his life. And then another person of great faith was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now think about this. She was probably between 14 and 16 years old. And if this huge, glowing person had come to me and said, "You're going to have a baby, and that baby's the child of God," I would have fainted dead away. I know me. I would have been so scared. I go, "Oh, no, God, not me. Not me." You can give that to somebody else. I'm not prepared for that. I can't do that. But she didn't. She didn't say that. She didn't faint. She didn't run away. Her faith never wavered. Because she knew. She knew. She didn't just believe it. She knew her son was the Son of God. And then there was Peter. He was just a fisherman. He probably smelled like fish all the time. Okay. In the end, or toward the end of Jesus' life, I should say, he's known as saying, "Well, I never knew that Galilean. I don't know who he was. I have nothing to do with him." And he did that 3 times. But you know, God wasn't through with him. Even though he rejected Jesus, said he didn't belong to Jesus, Jesus didn't belong to him, God wasn't through with Peter. Peter became the rock, as we know. He was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Not only was he the leader of the church in Jerusalem, he knew Jesus personally. He knew Paul. He helped Paul. Paul helped him. He knew Timothy. He knew a lot of the great people in our scriptures, and he helped them with their ministries. And if he hadn't have, we wouldn't be sitting in this church. And then there was Paul. He believed that the Jews and this Jesus person were out to destroy the Jewish way of life. By knowing Christ, by actually having a physical, personal experience with Christ on that road, he became a radical Christian, a church planter, and a great Christian author. His view changed from believing to knowing. So, I think, like I said, this is my opinion. Faith is the difference between believing and knowing. I believe the sun comes up in the east because that's what I've always been taught. But who says that's the east? Except it's that way, isn't it? Okay. I'm also directionally challenged. Okay. Who called it east? Who decided that that direction was east? I believe it is because I've been told that all my life. Okay. I believe that the flu shot will keep me from getting the flu. Maybe or maybe not. Depends on how good that flu shot is. How many strains it covers. Right? Well, my thoughts sometimes about what I believe change according to what's happening. If I get sick from after I have a flu shot, I'm going to say that flu shot wasn't any good. Right? So my thoughts as to what I believe can change. Now, the things I know for a fact, because I have it on my birth certificate, that my name is Paula Joyce Kilman Merrill. Okay? I know that for a fact. I was born in California because it's right there on the birth certificate too. It's a fact check of who I am. Okay. And one more very important thing that I know for sure is that I asked Christ into my heart sitting on my mother and dad's bed when I was 8 years old. So I know, I don't believe, I know I'm a child of God. Nobody can take that away from me. Now, several years ago, at our church in Odessa, this man came to have a Bible study on faith. And it was very good. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I do remember this one example that he gave. And I'm not a farmer. I am not a farmer. I really am not very good with plants. I have a plant morgue. If anybody would like to come and put flowers on my plant morgue, you're just fine, okay? But I do have farmers in my family, and I know that they work hard. And they work long hours. And during this Bible study, it was given as a point that would a farmer pray for rain and then just sit around and not plow his field, not plant the seed, and just wait for God to provide? Would he? Is that the way you farm? No, that's not the way the farmer does it. Usually the farmer plows his land, he plants the seed in there, and then he prays for rain because it's the rain that's going to help the crops come up, right? Okay, now some farmers pray beforehand and then they pray after too, and you know, but generally that's what happens. They plow, they seed, and then they pray for rain. They wait for rain. Okay. Now, and I don't know why God gave me these two stories about farming, but he did. So I'm going to share this one with you too. And this does happen to be a true story because my cousin, who was the chief cotton grader at the one of the co-ops, she worked for USDA, and she taught all the others how to grade cotton there in the Lubbock area. She told me this one time, and then 2 days later, my Aunt Margie told me the same story. And my Aunt Margie's redheaded, and redheads don't lie. Okay? So I know it has to be true. Besides that, my cousin Jackie wouldn't lie either. So, anyway, there was a cotton farmer in Lubbock, and it was planting time. And he had plowed his field, but it was time to plant his field. And he had a dream. And this man gave the credit to God. So we don't have to worry with that. God got the credit. But I think it's a wonderful story. And in his dream, God told this cotton farmer to plant a row of sunflowers. And then plant a row of cotton. And then plant a row of sunflowers. And then a row of cotton. The farmer didn't know why, but it ate on him. And he knew that God was talking to him through that dream. So he did what God instructed him to do. He alternated his rows of cotton with sunflowers. And I don't know if any of you know about sunflowers or not, but they are strong. They can withstand a lot of stuff. And especially they can stand up where you don't want them. Okay? Anyway, that spring, after the crops were up a little bit, there was a really bad storm. And this farmer was the only farmer in his co-op that had a crop. And it was because of sunflowers. They saved his crop. Now, I'm telling you, that's faith. He stepped out on it. He had no idea why or what was going to happen. But God protected him because he did what God told him to do in that dream. Then, I have to tell you a little bit more about me. My sister, Lynn, has come to live with me for a while. And we're helping each other out. Actually, she's my half-sister. But you'll hear me refer to her as my sister. Because we're sisters. We have the same father. But we have different perspectives on our father. Her memories are of an older daddy who had a business, who was busy, who had fun with his kids. My perspective, my memories are of someone who had left my family and he was gone and he had forgotten me. Now, that's my perspective. Okay. Now, I believed that my father loved me. He's supposed to, isn't he? He's my father. So, I believed he did. Well, when Lynn came to live with me, and this is the longest we've ever been together, we got to sharing stories and looking at pictures. She had never seen pictures of my young father. I didn't see a lot of the older pictures of my father. And we shared more stories. I knew this younger father, this younger daddy, who was not long out of the Navy, who hadn't been long after World War II. He was trying to scrape by. He only had an eighth grade education. He had three young children and a wife. And he was hard. He was very hard. But she remembers this daddy with an established business, a house full of siblings, a quiet and stern daddy. But he was a teddy bear at heart. Because she shared my father's conversations about me and about my brothers who didn't live with them, because she shared conversations and told me what Dad really thought and really told them that we meant to him, it has changed my believing my father loved me into knowing my father loved me. And when I got married, actually, when I was dating Gary, I started having a relationship with my father where I could go and visit and we could talk. And it grew from there until his death. And it became a very precious thing. And so her coming to stay with me and us sharing memories has helped. And like I said, my believing my father loved me has now changed to knowing my father loved me. Just believing can always change into knowing. When you have a personal relationship with Christ, it changes from believing to knowing. Knowing something never changes. It's embedded within your psyche. Faith is what changes believing into knowing. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is found on page 377 in your Methodist hymnal. Please stand as we sing together, "It Is Well With My Soul."
When he's like a river,
attendeth my way.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Before we have our blessing, don't forget that we have our potluck today, and there's plenty of food. So even if you didn't bring anything, I brought enough for six, and there's only two. So please, come on. We'll have plenty of food. And pray with me before we have our blessing, and we'll bless our meal so that when we're dismissed here, we can go straight in. We're going to go in this door and be served. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And that little exhibit will be back there as y'all sit in the line. You might look, because those little animals that they made were awesome. And they would take it out of my hand because I'd be trying to do it, and they'd make it into something cool.
Okay. Yes, be sure and look at the exhibit back there. Lord, we do thank you for this food that we are about to partake. We thank you that we can gather and have a good time, eat together, because when we have a community meal, Lord, you come and sit right with us, and you bless us even more. Thank you, Lord. This is my prayer. Amen. Okay. Blessed before us, it is blessed. Behind us, it is blessed. Below us, it is blessed. Above us, it is blessed. Around us, it is blessed, as we set out with Christ. Our speech is blessed as we set out for God. With beauty before us, with beauty behind us, with beauty below us, with beauty above us, with beauty around us, we set out for a holy place indeed. Amen. Have a great week. I'm going to get that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
As we go, may Spirit go before us. As we go, may we follow where you lead. May we live what we have learned, share the message we have heard, and be a light unto